Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, thank you so much for you people that did hang on to the break. And for you people, new people coming on, in just in case you don't know, you're listening to Blood River Radio. It's July 27th, year of our Lord, 2019. We had two really good people on the first hour, in case you didn't get to listen. We had Dr. Tom Sunit calling in from London, England. He's a Croatian citizen. I believe he also may have a citizenship here in the United States. But he talked about this new thing. Dr. Sunik talked about this new thing going on that's going to mesh perfectly with our next guest come on. Our next guest is going to be Jason Robb, and you'll see in a minute why how it meshes. They mesh perfectly. Dr. Sunik talked about this new movement in Europe. I say it's new. It's we don't have it right here yet. It's called the identitarianism, and he said he's given speeches in Germany, in England, in Italy, but the first time he's given an identitarian speech in England was this last couple of days. And what encourages me, and the same thing encouraged Dr. Sunik, is that there was he said the average age, I believe he said, was like a 25-ish, 27-ish, the real young there. You know, most of our conferences here, our people tend to be kind of old. I'm 72, and I'm usually one of the oldest ones. But he talked about, and then we had, after Dr. Sunik could only stay on about, almost two segments, I believe. And then we brought Keith Alexander, a co-host with the Political Cesspool, friend of, I've been friends with Keith for many, many years. We brought him on, and he broke the speech down, broke what Dr. Sunik was talking about. And Keith played his finger right on the pulse of the problem. He said, he's talking about when James Carville was in with Clinton, and James Carville, the Louisiana thug, he said, it's the economy, stupid. Well, Keith said something that's really, it's the real problem is, it's race, stupid. You know, whether or not you're a Christian, I got to wrap this up because I don't want the guests hanging on too long. Whether or not you're a Christian, no matter what religion you are, you have to know that the white race in the entire world, Rob pointed out, Keith pointed out, Tom Sunik pointed out, Keith pointed out, it doesn't matter which country you are living in. If you're white, you're hated. You're the most hated species there is on the face of the earth. And you just have to realize that. It's true. And if you're a Christian, you're double hated. And that Keith was talking about, and I'm going to ramp this up, that we have to start having identity politics like other races do. The blacks have identity politics. The Mexicans do. It's all the Hispanics, and especially the Jewish race. There's no one that's more tribal than the Jewish race, and no one hates a white people more than these international Zionist Jews. That's fact. That's not me just saying this, and it's not just this racist epithet that I'm throwing out there. It's absolutely true. Now, Jason Robb, are you there tonight, fella?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hope you can hear me well because our guest, Tom Sunik, he was at Montgomery Bell with you and I. We were at Montgomery Bell. Dr. Sunik said he was talking about, we have to have have identity politics like the rest of the world. Keith Alexander came along and nailed the final nail in. And that's why I think it meshes perfectly for you tonight, because you are with the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. And I know that's considered a no-no-no, these bad old Klansmen. But I can tell you people, I've known the Robs for several years, and I can double damn guarantee you they're much nicer than I am. I'm not saying I'm a violent lawbreaker, but they're much more mannerly than I am. They're just all the way around better people, social wise. I have more rough edges I need to hone out. But these people are all about what Dr. Sunak. Here we have Dr. Sunak, a PhD. He's as highbrow intellectual as you can get. And he's saying the same thing that these old Klansmen are saying. He's saying this, it's the same damn message. It's just coming from a different box, a different group. So, you know, if you've got to get over these stinking labels. Well, anyway, Jason, I know I'm getting kind of logged in there. So hope you was able to listen to Dr. Sunak. But if you couldn't, I think I gave a little bit of breakdown of what he said, what Keith said.
Yes, I did. I was able to listen to him and very much agree with what Dr. Sunak said. Now, Dr. Thomas Sunak, he actually, several years ago, we've been having what's called a leadership school with the Knights Party. And several years ago, we had a leadership school for several years, and Dr. Tom Sunak was one of our instructors here at the Soldiers of the Cross Bible Camp, where we hold, where the headquarters of the Knights is at, as well as the Christian Revival Center. And Dr. Tom Sunak and others were one of the instructors at our school here. And it was a week-long school, and Dr. Tom Sunak came here and was able to be one of the instructors for the attendees, giving his perspective from a European standpoint. And so, yes, so Dr. Tom Sunak is a very wealth of information. And basically, he says the same thing that I think most people are starting to realize, that really is about identity politics. My sister, Rachel Pendergraf, as you've known as well, she always has a good saying. She says the upside of white genocide. And what that basically means is we are now coming to an age in the United States, basically all your white countries, where white people are now forcing themselves to start identifying themselves as a race from the standpoint of looking at themselves as every race has a right to preserve their culture, their heritage, and white people, why can't we preserve our culture, our heritage, our rights? And just those simple questions that white people are now starting to ask is why we are starting seeing the hatred from your Jewish groups, from your non-white groups, because white people are simply saying we have a right to preserve our race, and they do not want us to be able to do that.
That's considered racist. You know what you said, and you know, what's so insane about the thing, Jason, is that when you say that, we live in such an Orwellian, Alice Wonderland world that they say, oh, if you're white, and you want to preserve your race, and you want to preserve a future right for your children being white, and you're proud that you look like your parents and your grandparents, that is the epitome of racism. Let me ask you a quick question here. I've often wondered, why is it how many people in the United States have ever heard of Dr. Thomas Sunak? I'd say maybe 1 out of 10,000. You know, but how many people have heard and heard of his group? How many people have heard of the Ku Klux Klan? How many people how many people just dump crap on Dr. Sunak compared to how many people dump crap on the Klan? And with that, we've run out of time. We've got to go to a break. Jason, we'll come right back. And I think Jacob Tyler is going to be calling in any second. So we'll be right back, people. Hang on to your feet. Hang on to your seat.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
People, y'all have heard me say this several times before. I could listen to that song for hours. That song, our great class, a great co-host in Little Spirit Sun, Matt Goodwin, turned me onto that song when we were up at Montgomery Bell several weeks ago. If you've never been with our group, you know when I think about our guys that I'm with, they're all, just about all of them are younger than me. You know, little Jacob Tyler, And Matt Goodwin, you will not know how close I am to those people. It's a spiritual thing. Matter of fact, I've often said that spirit trumps blood, and that's what I believe. You know, I really do. And you know, people can say, well, you can't have, you know, blood comes first. Maybe so, but I get so attached to these kids. I would die for them, and that's no exaggeration. But we're bringing Jacob Tyler on in just a minute. He's on the line right now, and he's going to be conversing with me and Jason, and we're probably going to keep Jason in another segment. But people, listen, Jacob, I'm glad you're on the line, son. I'm going to ask Jason a question and make a comment. We'll keep him for at least another segment, and or maybe longer, because we talked about some stuff we wanted to ask Jason earlier today. Me and Jacob did, because a lot of people don't know Jason is an attorney. He's an attorney, so he can answer some of our legal questions, hopefully. Anyway, going back, Jason, back to you, Jason, Mr. Jason Robb, to try to clarify between Jacob. I was saying, why? You know, I had trouble with that once before. Why is it? Well, I know you're an attorney. You're not a psychologist. You're not a psychiatrist. You know, talking about the Klan, League of the South, the White Citizens Council, that's like the old proverbial, it's almost overused, dog whistle for people that hate us. How can people like Dr. Sunit get by with stuff? I know they catch a lot of flack, and I know that people like Kevin McDonald catches trouble. Well, Keith Alexander, and we here at the Blood River, but people like you say, Sam Dixon, and people like Jared Taylor, they catch they're lightning rods, but not like the Klan. Wow, I mean, and we're all preaching the same message, and I can tell you, I've been around these people. I know they pray. They're better Christians than I am. Straight, and I can tell you, they don't hate. But even if they did, you know what? Even if they did, God hated. God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau and while they were in the womb. You know, that's just, I'm just throwing that out there. That's not Jason talking. That's Pappy, the bombardier. So what's the difference? Why is it like that, Jason?
Well, I don't know if there's. Well, I think if you want to call it differences, is I don't care what group you want to be called. If you want to be called a Klan, League of the South, White Citizens Council, Council of Conservative Citizens, American Freedom Party. I don't care what name people you want to go by. If a person or a group, an organization is simply wanting to stand up for white people, want to preserve their culture, preserve America, preserve maybe your European country, if you're in Europe, just the fact that you're wanting to preserve your race, believe that you have something worth to preserve, that you want to honor your forefathers and foremothers by continuing that great blood heritage. Just simply wanting to say that and preserve that, you are going to be called an extremist, a racist, a Klansman, a Nazi, of all the evil names out there. They're going to call you that simply because they do not want the white race, white Christians, to be proud of who they are. Because if they are proud of who they are, then we become a conqueror again. Our people have always conquered. Our people have always developed great civilizations and cultures. We have benefited the world of these third world countries. We have benefited them through medicine, through hospitals, and the fact that we are wanting to preserve our culture, we are now going to be called racist and extremist. And like I said, once our people wants to love our people again, we become conquerors again. And they don't want our people to be conquerors again. And that's why they continually have to downgrade our people and our children. They don't want our children to grow up and to be proud of who they are. And the reason I want to point this out is Reuters News Service, just a few, I believe, months ago, it might have been last year, they did a poll, and they said 58% of Americans said they can no longer identify with what America has become, and 53% of Americans said they are beginning to feel like a stranger in their own country. And if you break that down to racial groups, that's probably around 70% of white Americans saying that. So white Americans are recognizing that we are losing something special here in America. We're losing our culture. And white people are starting to wake up. And the Jewish media, the non-white organizations, they do not want our white people to wake up. They want us to sleep and basically die in the night, as we often hear.
That's absolutely right. You know, Jason, I'm going to point out something, make a couple of comments, what you said. The hateful old white race. I was talking to Simon Roach, you and I, everybody's, my friend, your friend, my brother, your brother, from South Africa. He was telling me it was one of the largest hospitals in the world, if not the largest. It was built in Johannesburg, I believe he was saying. And it was for mostly blacks over there. You know, the South African government had built up the black race. It's just exponentially greater than what the other African countries have done that have no white people. And I'm thinking, this might be a little rabbit trail, I'm thinking the reason probably that the Knights, the Klan, whatever you call them, catch more flack from our enemies is because, to my knowledge, they were the first. The Klan, and in after the Civil War, the Lincoln's War, was probably the first white
national
civil
group.
Defense group. That's probably why. You know, now shifting gears before, because we got to bring Jacob on in just a minute. Jacob. tell us about the conference you're having up there on Labor Day, and are you going to? Is any of these topics we talked about? If they're going to be talked about up there, tell us. Give us a quick summary about the Knights Conference, and tell us all about it.
It's the Knights Congress. It'll be on August 30th, 31st, and September 1st, Labor Day weekend, and it's open to any white people of good moral character, as we like to call it. Our theme for the Congress is stay strong and don't quit. And it's held in outside of Harrison, Arkansas, in the Ozark Mountains. It's on a secluded area. We have about 100 acres here. We have a conference center. We have several cabins, men and women cabins. We have facilities here. Is it like this private, secluded? And the conference is our conferences here always surrounds the family. And so we always focus on the families. We encourage spouses to come, their children. Most people here are probably going to be in the age group, in anywhere between the 20s and 40s. We have a lot of youth that comes to our conferences. And so we have some great speakers. We have our keynote speaker will be William Johnson, who's chairman of the American Freedom Party from California. And then we are also going to have Pastor Thomas Robb, who's the National Director of the Knights. He's been involved in the white nationalist movement for over 50 years. We have Rachel Pendergraf, myself. We have several other people, I believe, you're going to be speaking there. So it's going to be a great family conference.
Yes, we got to go to a break now. Yours truly and my staff will be there. We really love the invitation. Hang on just a minute, Jason, because I think Jacob has got some questions he's going to ask you. We're going to break Jacob up right after this break, people, to ask Jason some questions. So hang on to your hats. We'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Damage assessments continuing in part of the northern Philippines after a series of strong earthquakes. USA Radio's John Clemens.
The series of three earthquakes of 5.4, 5.9, with a third at a magnitude of 5.7 struck Saturday morning in the sparsely populated Batanes Islands in the northern Philippines. The Batanes Islands lies in the Luzon Strait that separates the Philippines with Taiwan.
At last check, at least 8 people were known dead. The number expected to rise. Over 60 other people were injured. The president lashing out on Twitter at House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings, accusing the Maryland Democrat of bullying the Border Patrol about conditions at the southern border and saying that the congressman's district in Baltimore is a far worse, filthy, and more dangerous place than any migrant detention center. And this is USA Radio News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a 2-time survivor, and in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're MediShare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many MediShare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join MediShare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people. And if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different. And as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi claiming she is not trying to, quote, run out the clock on impeachment. She spoke at the Capitol Friday and said any decision on impeachment of President Trump would be made in a timely fashion depending on the flow of evidence. Meanwhile, as Democrats were marking 200 days of control of the U.S. House, Michigan Congresswoman Haley Stevens delivered the Democratic address and noted that the House is going to continue to exercise its oversight authority.
We have exercised our patriotic duty to hold this administration accountable by conducting aggressive oversight and ensuring our national security by protecting the integrity of our elections.
A New York father is charged with negligent homicide after his twin infants were found dead in the back seat of his car yesterday. 37-year-old Juan Rodriguez says he forgot that the 11-month-old boy and girl were strapped in their seats when he went to work. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, we're right back. We're going into at the bottom of the second hour, and I have a million comments to make, but I can't because we got to bring Jacob on, my great little co-host, my little spirit son. He doesn't like me to say that, but it's just too bad because he is. But anyway, Jacob, we talked about some stuff that we would talk about. We talked about some things we would talk about if we had the attorney. We got the attorney on now we're going to speak to. He's our brother in blood. Like I said, I got 1,000 more comments I'd like to make. I already know what speech. I already know kind of the way the speech I'm going to. They're going to let me speak up there at the conference, and I'm really looking forward to it. But, Jacob, I want you to ask the attorney, Jason, some of the questions that you and I talked about today. We talked about the legal stuff going on in Charlottesville, et cetera, et cetera. You have a better brain than I do, so I don't have to tell you what to talk about. So take it away, Jacob.
Thanks, Pappy. Well, first off, greetings to all you folks out there listening to the show tonight. We're so excited you could tune in, and it's a pleasure and a privilege and an honor to be on air with you guys again. Always a great honor to be on with you, Pappy, and Jason. It's a real pleasure to be on air with you again tonight as well. It was great to meet you in person at the convention recently, and we all got to hang out there for a while, so that was a good time. But all that being said, we were talking just earlier today about all of the litigation and the various legal debacles going on in the aftermath of Charlottesville. And some folks might be, thinking that's kind of odd wording there, since Charlottesville happened a while back. But it has been this ongoing thing, if anyone is not already in the loop about this. And there's just been a legal battle after legal battle going on. And so we were talking about that some because it is such an ongoing ordeal. And we were just saying earlier, man, we would be missing an opportunity to have an attorney, an actual bona fide attorney, on air with us tonight and not be getting his take on all of that that's going on. I mean, you don't have to be an attorney to recognize that the enemy is using, the convoluted jurisprudence system of modern America, that bears no resemblance to the constitutional system that our founders implemented and set up to try to stifle free speech and whatnot. I mean, there's various aspects that can be readily inferred from this, but what we were really hoping tonight was that we could kind of get some of your more scholarly analysis as someone who's actually in the profession. And I just get you to comment on that some. And I mean, by all means, use your discretion. I understand that some of that may be a little touchy in your profession, but to whatever extent, yeah, this is something you're able to do, we'd love to hear your take on it and provide the audience with that coming from someone who actually has expertise in the area.
Right, I understand that. Well, I mean, obviously, what happened in Charlottesville was was a travesty. We all recognize that, and we also know the hatred there is with our people. And so, that being said, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear him, Pat?
Loud and clear. Loud and clear.
So the thing is, when you have an event like that happened, then unfortunately, you have a prosecutor and the prosecutorial system that is out for blood. and it comes right down to it. And they are being hammered by your Jewish groups and your very liberal Marxist groups to try to get a conviction against the white nationalists. And so the only thing they have to try to do is try to find something in order to arrest a person with a belief that we have, and try to pin them on a crime. And so, unfortunately, what happened, you know, you as we all know, you have, you know, different individuals that were arrested and charged for different crimes, and then the problem is that once they, you know, file these charges, then that, you know, the courts, the Constitution says a jury of your peers. Well, we all know that the jury of your peers are going to be different from state to state and city to city. And so you get an event where someone's being charged, and then you go in front of what's called your jury of your peers. And your peers are going, unfortunately, going to be very liberal for the most part. It's going to be, you know, left-leaning individuals, especially in Charlottesville. And they don't have the same beliefs like we do, and they're going to try to get a conviction. And unfortunately, it's a simple matter. And so it's nothing really scholarly behind that. It's basically you have prosecutors that are very much out to get white nationalists. And so you can have a peaceful event like that, what happened there. The people that were there, they had a legal permit to be there. And they were, the attendees had a right to be there, and unfortunately you have the governor of Virginia and the state police who basically allowed the white nationalists to be assaulted, and they were able to defend themselves. But unfortunately, you have prosecutors who's going to go out there and trying to file charges against white nationalists simply because they were trying to defend themselves and exercising their First Amendment rights.
Now, so Jason, how is it that, I mean, is there something that Pappy and I are missing here? Or how is it that an attorney in this modern legal system, I mean, I know it's corrupt and everything, right, but there's still protocols in place. I mean, and if, right, and if people actually, you know, held people's feet to the fire, I know that a lot of these shenanigans that go on couldn't be gotten away with if people were held accountable. And I know that in a lot of cases, that's not what, you know, that's just not happening. So how is it? Right. Is there something we're missing, or how is it that so many of these attorneys are able to aggressively pursue this very biased agenda that you're talking about? And how much are they putting themselves, you know, on the firing line, so to speak, for being countersued and accused of malpractice and things like that?
Excellent question.
Without accusing themselves.
Yeah. Now, are you talking about an defense attorney, or are you talking about from the prosecutorial side, prosecutors?
I suppose either or, but certainly from the side of the people who are aggressively initiating these cases, you know, going after the Charlottesville Five and the people involved in burying Alex Fields under the jail recently and all of that.
To kind of straighten that out, I'll just chime in. I think what Jacob is saying, Jason, attorney, that these the prosecution, the attorneys on the prosecution, you know better than I do, did they, if they broke the law, I'm not talking about just bending the law, I'm talking about if they went out and fully broke the law to hang these people up, these kids up there in a kangaroo court, Jacob is saying, can they be criminally sued? Is that what you're saying, Jacob?
Yeah, pretty much. It seems like they're so aggressive, like well beyond just what an attorney doing his job should readily be perceived as doing. So are they, I guess the question is, very much along those lines, are they putting themselves in the firing line where if an attorney were ambitious and bold enough to actually file charges against them for malpractice or something along those lines?
No, for the most part, when you're looking from the prosecutor side, most states and even on a state level or even on a federal level, prosecutors are basically immune from criminal lawsuits themselves, unless you can show that the prosecutors are you know, are intentionally trying to, you know, convict an innocent person or something like that. But that's really an extreme matter. And for the most part, the statutes in the various states allow prosecutors to be immune from lawsuits because they are part of the state. And most states have it where the states themselves and their agents can't really be sued. Okay, and it varies from, you know, different states, but for the most part, that's the case. And so prosecutors themselves can file charges against somebody they think they're breaking the law, and for the most part be immune from any type of even a civil lawsuit. And so that's why you got prosecutors out there that are very aggressive against our people and our beliefs, simply because of the fact that, you know, they have an agenda themselves. And so when any white nationalist out there that is going to hold an event or do some literature distribution, you know, they have to, you know, pretty much cross their, you know, T's and dot their I's. They have to, when they speak, you know, openly, you know, with reporters or whatever, they have to make sure that they're not doing anything that is going to cause them to think that they're, you know, being a violent person. And it's unfortunately that we have to act that way, but that's in the system.
Jason, we got to go to a break. Hear the music. Jason, I'm sorry to have to interrupt you. We have to go to a quick break. We'll come right back and let you resume right where you left off. People will be right back. This is a fantastic hour. I'm really enjoying it myself. Be right back.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly. But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Alrighty, dear people. When I say dear people, I hope you don't take offense. I mean our Blood River Radio family. I really appreciate you hanging on tonight. We're getting an earful. Before I go back to our attorney and to our co-host, I'm just going to throw this out there. I had no idea that the state had so much power. I didn't know that prosecuting attorneys could not be held liable for malpractice like us registered nurses. We damn sure are. Doctors have gone to prison for malpractice. It seems to me like it's not the system we have, and I'm just a regular old guy. It seems like we have, not we the people, but it looks like it's we the state now. If you can't sue or can't reel in a criminal prosecutor, I mean, it seems like we're lost. Now, with that comment, we'll go right back to where you were, Jason. You were talking about how, why I commented on that. It seems like that prosecutors, the state pretty much is just above the law. And is that an over-exaggeration?
No, I don't think that is an over-exaggeration. And unfortunately, that's kind of, the age that we're living in now is, you have states that have immense power and their agents have immense power and the prosecutors have, immense powers. And of course, that's where, the jury nullification comes in, but that really only works if you are truly with a jury of your peers. Like I was saying, now if that same event, let's say in Charlottesville, happened somewhere else where it was maybe more of a conservative, maybe more of a racial minded community, those people may have been found not guilty, or you may have had a prosecutor who may have had more of a leaning towards our cause that may say, no, I'm not going to file charges against these individuals. But unfortunately, when you have these prosecutors in your bigger city that basically are majority non-white, Marxist, liberal, Jewish influence, whatever name you want to call it, then you're basically going to enemy territory. And that's what we all need to realize, that in these different places, these major cities, third world countries that we like to call, when you go into any of these cities, you're kind of, open to their discretion. And so that's why we always have to be careful when we go in these major cities, more than your rural community, especially these major cities. That's where you're going to have more of these issues and problems happening.
Well, I'm sure y'all were listening to the commercial, and I'm going to go to Jacob. You know what? We have a commercial, and Jacob knows the commercial all too well. We talk about Congressman Steve Stockman. Jacob knows they even have a congressman in. So, it doesn't matter. I mean, if they can nail a congressman, put him in, give him a stall in the show trial, put him in prison, Jacob, I don't think any of us are safe. That's making me wonder about some stuff. So back to you, Jacob. Respond to our attorney, if you will.
Very true. Well, it underscores why in this system, so many of us are so helpless without divine protection. For those who aren't spiritual already, it should be enough to make you wonder if there's a reason why you should be. Because, if we do realize and accept that if the state turns its guns on you, so to speak, turns its legal apparatus against law-abiding citizens and even elected officials, that, without some kind of divine protection, you can be in serious trouble. But that being said, the state still goes through a great deal of effort to pretend like it is law-abiding and pretend like it does exalt the law. And, I'm sure, Jason, you would personally attest to that because of all the things they make a guy like you do in order to even be able to practice law. Still this great pretense that's made. And so I guess that raises the question in my mind of how effective you think it is, since it's not so simple a matter as to just go to some governing body somewhere that is a watchdog of attorneys and whatnot. It makes me wonder if another recourse that might be more effective and would be to initiate public awareness campaigns, which, you know, granted, that's not always a simple matter. I'm just speaking in principle here as a practical thing that people could do, to where if an attorney that is involved in a case, you know, pertaining to you is giving you heartache and is really, you know, just doing this and engaging in this behavior that's so despicable, you know, where they're just aggressively going after you, and it's obviously politically driven. It's not an actual matter of this guy seriously thinks that you're, you know, some kind of a menace to society or whatever. How effective, based on your own personal experience, is it if, hypothetically, some kind of a PSA, a series of commercials, you know, in the form of, like, PSAs that could be released. And, you know, like when they do political ads and they air it on TV and they name a politician by name, you know, the guy that's running against them will say, so-and-so voted for this and he did that. And, you know, for someone who had the wherewithal to take steps of that nature, how much can that affect an attorney, you know, based on your own experience, if it were somehow hypothetically possible to thoroughly expose them on TV, for example, or just in the town where they're at, that they're shamed, and it's made known about the behavior they're engaging in? How effective would that sort of action be, do you think?
I think all of that would be very effective. You know, I think anytime, you know, anyone can get any type of their message out there, even through those type of means, to get their message out to the general public, try to build awareness, and just continually bring that awareness to the, you know, average person. I think that helps. You know, I don't know if there's any one single answer. I think it's just generally just out there trying to bring awareness to, you know, with the corruption, what's happening. That if people start doubting or having faith in their judicial system, the state, you know, or they're having doubt in their government, that the government is not looking out after their own people, then that ultimately will help us. And yes, there's going to be victims. There's going to be, you know, as Marines would call it, casualties of war. And that's always unfortunate, but that's always going to happen. And so I think we continually have to bring awareness. I mean, we can see what the hatred they have with us just by simply what they're trying to do with President Trump. And even though there might be a lot of people out there that don't care for Trump, we can see that's an example of how much hatred they have for someone that has the appearance of being a nationalist. Even though we know he's not a white nationalist, they have painted him to be a nationalist, which has helped to bring the talking points for each of us when we're talking to people out on the street or out on the radio and the internet, because when they're calling Donald Trump the president, Donald Trump, a racist and a nationalist, then all these millions of white people out there are saying, well, then I guess I'm a racist. I guess I'm a nationalist, because they're calling Trump a racist and nationalist. So that helps us out in our talking point and bringing awareness of the corruption out there.
Here's another point, y'all, both of you guys. Here's another quick point. Make this quick point. I think we have really hammered home, and I did not expect the point to be hammered home, that what's happening in Charlottesville, what the attorney has just described to us, how the state is pretty much untouchable above the law. It doesn't matter. The attorney said, really, it doesn't matter if you have jury nullification. It doesn't matter if you have a jury, so to speak, if your peers. If you're in a town like Charlottesville that's predominantly black, or if they think, or if they're, you know, self-hating, self-loathing whites, the law be damned. It doesn't matter. So what? Here's the point I get tonight, guys, and I want y'all to chime in. Race is this. Nothing shows to me more than what the attorney has told us tonight about how the law is above the law, the state's above the law, than racial kindred. If you're going to go to trial anywhere for a crime, you need to be in an area with your racial kin, your spiritual kin, because I mean, That's it. The law doesn't matter. Am I making myself claim, Jacob?
No, I think you're absolutely right. With the Knights Party, we encourage people, if you're going to go and do activities, you're going to do literature distribution, you're going to do anything like that, don't go into these major cities, these basically, again, third world countries, don't go into these major cities where it's predominantly non-white, because first off, our people are not there for the most part. They're in the rural areas. So concentrate your activities in the rural areas where our people are at, because if something does happen, you have a better chance, a better odds in defending yourself in the judicial system with people that may be more leaning towards our viewpoints than in the cities. Because we already know if you're in a major city and something happens, you're pretty much going to be convicted unless, something dramatically happens. But for the most part, you're in their territory.
Well, y'all, hey, we ran out of time because I wanted to go back to Jacob. I had a question for Jacob I want to ask. Thank you so much, Jason, the attorney, Jason Robb, and thank you so much, Jacob Tyler. Y'all are brothers. I love you guys. I really do. I'm looking forward to talking to both of you men as soon as possible. Thank you so much for being in, both of you guys. People, thank you so much for tuning into Blood River tonight. I hope you got an education like I did tonight. It's kind of dismal in a way. I learned some things tonight. I wish I didn't learn them. This is kind of dismal. Well, good night, everybody. God willing, we'll be here same time next week. It'll be August then. Good night, people.